Okay, good morning. It is Wednesday, June 7th, 2017, and I'm calling to order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education. Today, colleagues, we will have one item on our agenda, a work session for House Bill 5038, which is the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission Budget Bill. With that, Mr. Wilson, please start us off.
Madam Chair, members, you should have materials on OLS. There will be a the LFO recommendation, which have a memo and the work papers, and then there's a KPM. We'll be going through both documents. a little background real quick on TSPC, sort of four various functions that they license: teachers, administrators, and other education professionals like counselors. They set standards for these licenses. They set the standards and performs accreditation for teacher training or teacher prep programs at both private and public universities and colleges, and they also investigate and, where merited, take disciplinary actions regarding the licensees of the commission. A little background: if you were around a few biennia ago, TSPC went through a rather troubling time of falling revenues due to less teachers either applying for licensing or renewing their licenses. That ended up having the commission have a lot fewer revenues. They had to hold positions vacant, cut staff, and a number of other factors. They've been growing out of that. And their finances are much better, but as a result of those actions, they still continue through a series of backlogs, both in licensing and investigations, and this budget will reflect continuing to work through that issue. There's a new licensing system coming online. It's partially online now, and over the next year it will become fully implemented in terms of the licensing system. That is being developed and maintained by a private contractor. And outside of the budget, each licensee or renewal of a license is charged $10 for a processing fee, and that covers both the cost of operating that system as well as the cost of the ongoing development of it. It's different than a lot of other agencies, but it is an option that the CIO's office and DAS have been using for these kinds of systems. The basic licenses did go up in terms of the fee this current biennium with the passage of House Bill 2411 in 2015. So those basic teaching licenses are for 3 or 5 years, depending on the license, and that license fee was increased from $100 to $140 over that 3 or 5 year period, depending on the license. In terms of the commission's budget, their current service level is between $6.6 and $6.7 million. The changes to the CSL that I'll go through real quickly, a summary, and then go through the work papers. They continue 3 limited duration positions to take care of those backlogs, both in investigations and in responding to phone calls and emails. It establishes an information technology position to address a number of issues that should help in the long run around those backlogs. It provides limited resources to continue and hopefully complete the scanning of the files of the commission. They are required for 25 years under, I believe, it's statute that it's under. And then there are roll-up of the actions taken by the December 2016 e-board dealing with some expenditures that weren't fully covered in their budget, and those are rolled up for the biennium. Continuing through, I'll work through the work papers that look like this. The first 2 pages are summary pages, both for the entire agency and then for what is the bulk of the agency called General Program. If you go to page 3 of 9, these are the packages for the general operations of the agency. Package 090 is a roll-up, as I said, of the December 2016 actions taken by the emergency board. It deals with fingerprinting costs, merchant fees that weren't fully included in the budget in 15-17, and now this takes care of them for the 17-19 biennium, and increased legal fees. All those fees increased legal costs, excuse me. All three of those components are expected to continue into the next biennium, and that's why we're recommending approval of this $342,710 package.
Can I ask a question right there? Just specifically about the merchant fees and the roll-up. So you talked earlier about the new system where there's a kind of outside of the budget charge of $10, and that covers the things. So why is this merchant fee still going to be an ongoing thing versus shouldn't they be figuring out how to budget for that going forward?
This merchant fee, Madam Chair, is since everything is done by credit cards, they are actually a store, for lack of a better term, a retailer, then every retailer with a credit card pays a merchant fee.
Right.
And that wasn't completely factored into the 15-17 budget, so why it was in this package in December, approved by the e-board, then continues now. It's the $10 fee is just for the system development and operation. This is the credit card portion.
So 1.5% or what have you.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what it is.
Well, this is something that I have talked to DAS about that I still don't feel like I have gotten, that either the state as a whole has really gotten its arms around, because this is an issue. The more we go to online everything, there is this merchant fee, and we need to, at a minimum, account for it in all of our agencies that are using credit card payments. And either, you know, so my kid's school, the PTA does this, and we've started using a Square. And so we charge the people what the 1.5% is because we're a nonprofit, and the idea is we don't have the money to spare. And my concern continues to be that the state as a whole has not necessarily negotiated the best rate we possibly can, because I feel like we have a pretty significant book of work in this state with things that are done by credit card. Electronically, and I've talked a little bit to DAS about this, and they answered a different question than what I actually asked. But just going forward, I feel like a combination of broadly negotiating what that merchant fee is to get it down as low as possible, given our large volume of work, and a consistent budgeting across agencies on either it's accounted for and we eat it, but it's accounted for in the budget, or we charge it extra. And that's really why I wanted to bring this up. As part of this, because this is, I remember the first place this really jumping out at me 2 years ago. And I would like it to be not just in that roll-up number, but I would like this to be accounted for in the way they do their books going forward, so that it doesn't have to just be this roll-up of this one-time money that we did from the e-board going forward.
Madam Chair, this really will now go forward. This okay. just catches up to what it
okay.
will be. I don't think, hopefully it won't be brought up again in future by any, because it's already in the base
okay.
budget.
Great. Thank you.
The next package, I'm on page 4 of the working papers, is package 101, which is a customer service budget. The governor's budget included establishing 4 positions, reclassing 3 existing positions, and reclassing also a manager position. The reclasses were designed not to have a monetary effect on the budget in the 17-19 biennium. The 4 positions that were proposed were a permanent exec manager D as a manager of the licensing functions of the department, continuing 2 limited duration public service rep 4 positions, a permanent ISS or information services specialist 6, which is the level of the position, was proposed to deal with a number of software and database issues that faced the agency. And finally, there was a $30,000 one-time stand-up fees paid to the state data center as they transition to the state data center, which they're not on at this point. Our recommendation is not to go forward with the license program manager. The agency already has 3 managers. Adding a 4th seemed to get a little heavy, mostly in light of bills the past couple sessions that say you shouldn't have more managers than one, sort of a working standard of 1 to 11. This would have taken them way over that. Even though that standard can vary from agency to agency. The 2 limited duration positions are recommended. They need to address the ongoing backlogs in emails and responding to phone calls, as well as the licensing and processing licensing. Hopefully this will be the last biennium they need them, and they'll catch up, either get the backlog done, and hopefully this the new licensing system, as it comes fully online, will take care of some of those issues. And we also recommend the ISS 6 position. We recommend it as a permanent position, but say you really need to take a look at this at in the seventh development of the 1921 budget in 2 years. One reason we recommend it as permanent is almost impossible to hire a limited duration information systems position. It really is. But many of the projects they have identified that need to be done, dealing with their web page, dealing with an investigative licensing system, are more short term in nature. For that reason, we want you to really look at it again in 2 years and whether they need that position at that level or not. So that is package 101. That value of that package is $571,913, less than what, and that's less, significantly less than the governor proposed for that package. Package 102 deals with investigations. It proposes adding two limited duration positions and reclassifying two positions. The limited duration positions are one investigator, two position. Again, limited duration, dealing with getting that backlog done. A limited duration office assistance position that deals with scanning. The governor proposed that for a year, or for both years of the biennium. Our recommendation will be slightly smaller than that. And they also proposed purchase of $200,000 for a new case management system dealing with tracking investigated actions and disciplinary actions. Our recommendation is for sure to continue the limited duration investigative position, work down that backlog. Hopefully, like the other two positions I mentioned earlier, that this will be the last biennium they need it. We're recommending that the position doing the scanning will be 1 year, half-time position. The agency feels that they can get that done in 1 year. It's taking longer than they expected because they had to do a lot of redacting of information, and it's not just necessarily scanning. They're having to go through each piece of paper or each file and take a look at confidentiality and a number of other issues. So it's taken longer. And we do not recommend the $200,000 for the information system, mainly because if you approve the information systems 6 position, the ISS 6 position, that position can use some work that's been done in the past and come up with a system, a home-built system, during the time that that person is in that position. So with that, we recommend a package of $197,630 and two positions and 1.25 FTE. The last position in this area, package 801, I went through the SNS costs and budget versus actuals. In the current biennium, there were a few areas that had quite a bit of unspent dollars, talked to the agency some, and talked about their future spending, and I felt that we could cut about $90,000 out of that SNS budget. Those areas, professional contracts or professional service contracts, and a couple other areas. I don't think that should harm them, mainly since we're adding back some resources to address some of the issues there in terms of staffing.
Mr. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilson, could you do that for the other agencies too, please?
We will try. I will tell you it's much easier to do it for smaller agencies than larger. But
there are more money there.
Yeah. So that takes care of the general general program portion of the budget. There was one small area of the budget. If you move on to page 9, this is called the Teacher Education Program Accreditation Area. This was a separate appropriation line, so it's a different area of their budget. We're recommending that you zero that out because all the money that had been All the money has been spent for that specific purpose. This was from last year. You passed Senate, or 2 years ago, you passed Senate Bill 78, which provided $200,000 to the agency to assist the teacher prep programs in getting accreditation. It wasn't, they weren't sure if they were going to get all the money out the door in this current biennium, but they have. So this expenditure limitation is no longer required. So we recommend zeroing it out. So that, Madam Chair, is the budget portion in terms of our LFO recommendation. And
any questions while we're at this, as we just walked through that, which is not precluding your right to ask questions later, but okay, go ahead.
So we there's a motion. If you would accept the
Monica.
You can if you wish. That's up to
Madam
the
Co-Chair.
Committee.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Monica's sitting here so pretty. I think we ought to ask her some questions.
All right. Please come forward, Doctor. And if you would just introduce yourself for the record, and then Co-Chair will begin.
Co-Chair Warner, Smith-Warner, Co-Chair Monroe. For the record, my name is Monica Bean, Executive Director of the Oregon Teacher Standards and Practices Commission.
Okay. Now, how are you doing in terms of getting caught up with the investigations and so on? Where are you in that process? And we gave you a little additional staff and just wondered how you're feeling about it.
Co-Chair Monroe, thank you for the question. I'm feeling very good about it. The one investigator that is limited duration has been an asset to the agency. When he first started this position, he was working on cases that were 4 or 5 years old. And now he actually is just about, we're taking to the commission in 2 weeks, the final cases from 2015, so he's working in 2016 cases. So the fact that he is 1 year back is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Further questions?
That's the main question
okay.
I had.
Anybody else while Dr. Beam's up here have a question? I would just like to, not a question, but maybe a comment. I would just like to thank you for the good work that you've done at the agency. It can always be challenging to come into a position when there's a when you have a predecessor who's been there for a long time. And I know that I think all my colleagues would agree that we've gotten really great positive reports about how the agency's working under your leadership, and we very much appreciate that. And I would just say I hope that another thing that you're able to do as you stay in and settle into the job and we kind of work through all the limited duration and continue with that backlog is to that it'll really give you the opportunity to kind of take a step back. You've talked before about the good perspective that you bring being in states where you were part of the Department of Education and weren't and all those various things. And I just think it'll be great for you to have the opportunity to really step back and say, okay, once we have the catch-up and we've had these limited durations here and there, truly are we structured, staff-wise, in the most efficient way, in what makes the most sense. Maybe, because so often things are the result of what you've had to deal with. And I hope that you have the opportunity to really give a kind of a fresh look at what the best way to run and structure this agency is. And I look forward to getting lots of good feedback from you on that in the future.
Co-Chair Smith-Warner, thank you so much. And I have a vision moving forward. It's just following the process and working with my team internally to make it happen.
Great.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, and you heard Mr. Wilson's recommendations. Do you have pause with any of those recommendations, or are you okay with that?
excuse me, Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Smith-Warner, thank you for the question. I have worked very closely with Mr. Wilson about the budget because of a few bills where we saw some impact, potential impact to revenue, particularly with the expedited application fee, where that is being eliminated in most cases. That will be a negative impact to our revenue. As I've stated on record, it's the right thing to do for students, but it will impact our revenue. So working with Lisa Pearson, who's in the back row, and then also with Doug Wilson, we were able to make sure that we didn't overextend ourselves. So I appreciate them taking that careful look and analyzing our budget very, very, very carefully so that we would not have to have layoffs during the next 2 years because of that. So, yes, I'm comfortable with the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
So we have a motion on the floor, or have we had that motion yet?
I would Madam Co-Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation with respect to House Bill 5038.
Co-Chair Monroe has moved that we accept the LFO recommendation to House Bill, to the House Bill 5038. Discussion. Any objection? Okay, so moved.
So performance measures.
Performance measures are in a separate document on your OLIS. And before I start there, just you were talking, Dr. Bean brought up ending balances and revenues. Basically, we're going to be sitting in around 3 to 4 months of ending balance or worth of operating revenues with the existing revenue balances. Almost four months when you take into account fingerprinting as part of that, but fingerprinting fees and revenues can only be used for fingerprinting. If you factor those out, you're really looking at it roughly about 3 months of ending balance of operating charges, which is less than I would like to see in this case because you just raised fees. But given that many of these positions are limited duration, they probably that will be have a positive effect, hopefully, when those go away for the 19-21 budget, and that will hopefully hold off from having to raise fees anytime in the near future, given that the fees are not that high, but still raising fees is always a challenge. So in terms of the proposed key performance measures, they have struggled. And performance, actually, I used the word dismal at one time, but I think I pulled it out of it. But they have been making progress. The column that says last reported results actually represents so far in this current 2017. They are still rather low, but they are improving. Some of the reasons for being relatively low are the things that are getting measured that don't necessarily work well for them, and we're proposing some changes. So
is that decimal point in the wrong spot on the percentage?
No.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yes. Madam Chair, members, the first we're suggesting you get rid of the existing KPM number one and split it into two parts. The existing one measures both email and phone together jointly, and it just doesn't work. It measures well for the email, but in its current form, it doesn't work. You can't measure what it's measuring around the phone. So we're suggesting you split that into two parts. Keep one with the email customer service, percent of emails responded to within 3 days. Actually, that's doing very well. That is actually 90%. At this point in time, so we're keeping a target of 85% for that one. We're suggesting you create a new one dealing with phone customer service. Basically, the percentage of phone calls responded to that are not abandoned, which is the way they're actually able to recognize that. And the target for that one is also 85% in both years. Key KPM number two deals with the percentage of license applications processed. The way it's worded now is they have to respond, which means fully process it within 20 days. Now, that actually represents 15 business days because their system only responds to calendar days, not business days. So what we're suggesting and recommending is that you change that to 30 days, which in reality is 20 business days, but you also have it measure when they initially process it or pick up the folder and start initially processing it. Under the current one, you have to complete the processing, and to be honest, many applicants will send their material in. The person processing will go, I'm missing all this. Then they're getting measured for someone not sending the paper in on time. So we're saying initially processed within 30 days.
Senator Thompson.
That's really misleading, because when I read that, what I figured that was after somebody has already filled out their application and they hand it in, it took them 30 days to do that. But that's not what this is doing.
Well, what it says is they're picking the folder up, for lack of a better term, within 30 days of them being sent to the agency.
Right.
Now, they're within, I'm not sure where they are right now in that measure, but it's within the 30 days that they're initially processing it. But at the same time, they can say, we're missing paper A.
Sure.
They let the applicant know, and the applicant may take 4 weeks in getting that piece of paper to them, or 3 days. But that's beyond the control of the commission staff.
Follow up, Senator Thompson.
And who looks at this stuff anyway?
The applications?
Monica.
Or the performance measures?
Okay.
Who looks at the applications, or who looks at the performance measures?
Percent of a license application, who looks at that?
Well, I would say Dr. Beam does, and then we as a legislature do when we're reviewing their budget.
And so, but it should be, I mean, to me, that means that somebody's already completed their form, and they've handed it in, and it takes the agency 30 days or more to process it. But in reality, that's not what's happening. The form could come in unfinished. All that stuff, and then this makes it look like they're doing a horrible job.
And part of that is we're changing the new language is percent of license applications initially processed. And the current form where they're performing at 3.21%, that's total processing, including the time that they're waiting for information from the applicant to send in a missing piece of paper, missing form, missing piece of information.
Senator Roblin.
I would say the commission also looks at these data, not just.
Good point.
And they have been concerned about this for a while. It's not that they've left this go. It's kind of like, how do we get there? And right. I appreciate that.
And does the commission meet monthly or quarterly? I cannot recall.
It is quarterly.
Quarterly. Okay, great. And I wonder, Mr. Wilson, is there, and I don't know where we are in the if this is too late in the process, but the idea of having a two-part KPM, like the amount initially processed within 30 days and then completed within 90, is that a reasonable expectation? I mean, I don't know if we need to do that, or maybe we put that as a note for something to look at next time, depending on how this is going, because part of it, and while understanding it is applicant thing, but at the same time, it would be good to know, even with, okay, we're getting 100% of them within 30 days, but only 5% are getting totally done within 90 days. Well, that might show us a problem we have that, you know, that just this number might mask.
We can, Madam Chair, put that as a note in terms of the subcommittee that they should look into developing that as one. Great. Next time around.
Okay.
They may be actually measuring that anyways internally.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Senator Roblin.
Yeah, and my question is, that as we develop these, are we asking both the commission and the director what would be the best indicators for them to move forward? Or are we coming up with these on our own?
No.
Great point.
Madam Chair, and Senator Roblin, Dr. Bean and I spent probably an hour talking performance measures.
Because I think that when you're in the position, you look around and you start figuring out what would be the best way for me to be calibrated against getting where I think I need to be. So thank you for doing that.
Great point. Thank you, Senator.
And, Madam Chair, the others stand as they were in terms of the other performance measures. It was the first two that I suggested and recommend some changes.
Okay.
So there would be a motion in order for acceptance of the KPM recommendation.
And can I ask one more question first, which is the voicemail question, whether the voicemail is turned on at whether it's being used yet. Okay, it is not. So that is another note I think I would like us to talk about in the future as well, because hopefully part of the catch-up is to figure out a more, because just in a modern business environment, the idea that there's no way to leave voicemail just seems. Senator Thompson.
They don't have their voicemail turned on, so what do people do when they call them?
They wait.
Hang up.
Oh, that would make me very angry.
It is, on the other hand, a way to steer people, and I would wonder or encourage perhaps
online.
Well, I guess if there's no voicemail message, but for people to be encouraged to send an email, because then you are that much more likely to get a response. So, okay.
People don't use telephones anymore.
I know.
They just text.
Madam Co-Chair.
Line at home.
I do, actually. Why? Because it came with my...
I bet.
Yes,
Rod
does. Mr. Co-Chair.
I move that we accept the LFO recommendation with respect to the key performance measures for House Bill 5038.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Monroe has moved to accept the LFO recommendations on key performance measures for House Bill 5038. Discussion. Any objection? Julie, were you raising your hand? Okay. So moved. Without objection, so moved.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5038 as amended to the full committee.
We're missing one. We have to move the adoption of the amendment.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Madam Co-Chair, I move adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 5038.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Monroe has moved adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 5038. Discussion, including Doug, who could perhaps tell us what's in that amendment.
Madam Chair, the amendment is a standard other fund limitation in the amount of $7,476,138, and it reflects the work papers that you went through a few minutes ago.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5038 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved House Bill 5038 as amended to the floor to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objection? So moved. Okay.
Carriers.
Do we have any volunteers to carry to the? Yeah. Would you like to carry to the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
And carrier to the full committee.
Either one of us.
Either one.
Senator Thompson to the full committee.
Sure.
And to the Senate floor also.
Sure.
Or.
Okay.
Senate. You can do it to Senate floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will close the work session on House Bill 5038. And Mr. Wilson, do we have any more work for today?
Not for today, and
okay.
Next meeting would be Monday, but right now we don't have anything on the docket.
Okay. So keep your ears peeled, and we will let you know as soon as possible when our next meeting will be convened. Thank you.
Did
and
you say not sure on Monday?
Not sure on Monday.
Not sure on Monday.
All right.
And with that, we are adjourned.
If we do, it'll be.
Not sure on Monday.
All right.
And with that.